We're back here on our Purple and Gold Point After Show. Mike Dettelier along with Herb Tyler. We're at Acme Oyster House, 3535 Perkins Road in Baton Rouge. Come on by and visit us. They got a lot of great food and drink specials here. Also, you can register to win some swag here from Acme and also gift cards from Acme also. And we want to thank our presenting sponsor, Map Construction. Map Built, Build Beyond. Herb, let's go back to our Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line. Let's go to Don in Lakeview. Don,
let's go, Don.
In the huddle with Mike and Herb.
Hey, Mike. Hey, Herb.
Go yes, Tigers. Don. Go Tigers.
I had two questions. One.
Okay.
What's going on with our offensive line? It was supposed to be our biggest strength.
Yeah.
Because the middle, they could not move. I don't think they could move a bale of hay. I mean, or anything. They couldn't move anything today. And they were getting blown up all the time. Number two, Harold Perkins. I like when they started bringing him more often, particularly in that last series. But it seems like that, you know, the defensive coordinator, using him in ways creatively. I love when they dropped the defensive end into the flat and confused, you know, the quarterback, yep. You know, from South Carolina. I mean, there's got to be ways that you can use him to disguise him more coming off the edge, which seems like he's stronger coming off the edge and even in the middle. And then thirdly, more of a comment, I don't understand why we don't have the discipline. Free snap penalties, things like this, all yep. that stuff just puts us behind the chains.
Yep.
I used to live, thank you so much for the call, Don. Appreciate it. I'll answer your last question first. So I live right next to a former NFL major college coach for, geez, he coached for over 50 years. He passed away a little over a year ago, and Joe Clark. And Joe used to tell me it's not sometimes what you teach, but how you teach them. Because you got to be able to relate that they understand.
That's right.
It's not that you're not being taught right.
That's right.
But are you teaching them in a manner in which they understand it?
Yep.
And he said, Mike, that's the biggest thing to me in coaching. He said, when I got out, it's a new generation of you've got to be able to sell them and understand, have them understand what you are trying to teach them as a coach.
Yep.
Because sometimes it gets lost in translation.
It does. So you have to speak to be understood, and you have to listen to understand. So, and if you don't do any of those in that combination like we just talked about, it won't be successful. Now, the other thing about that is also it's the delivery thereof. It's a new age person. You know, back in the days, if a coach said something, everybody's ears perked up, and they were listening, they were paying attention. Now a coach might be saying something, they're thinking about TikTok or Instagram. I don't know. But at the end of the day, it is definitely something to do with the delivery of how we're getting our point across and if we're doing a good job or not. And I think that's an evaluation that the coaching staff has to do. Now, when you go to the offensive line question that he asked about, it's so difficult to put a finger on it. But what I will tell you is, I think that is a combination there of either backs not seeing, because just because you don't get to push up the middle doesn't mean that the back isn't supposed to bounce it out left or right, whatever gap hole he needs to go to. And then the other thing is, what is the scheme? What are they really trying to do? And it's so difficult to understand what they're trying to do because they're not doing anything. It's just weird. It's like just a cluster of guys in the middle and not getting any push. So I think that's something that they're working on and have to reevaluate.
And today, you and I talked about this. Some of Caden's yardage came off the fact.
Yeah,
he almost like runs up the back of somebody, and then he takes off.
And then bounces out.
Nobody grabbed him. And so, you know, Caden took off, and Caden's fast. And so, man, once he gets that one foot down, he can break away from people.
Yep.
But it wasn't like it was gaping holes for Caden Durham.
Well, I think had the vision to see to cut prior to running into the back of, then maybe there was a lane to run through. And you know as well as I know, Mike, the lane doesn't have to be gaping. It just needs to open and close. And you have to be there when it opens so you get through it and you're there. What was the third question that he asked?
About Harold Perkins.
About Harold Perkins, yeah.
And my thing about it is, and I heard Kurt Herbstreit talk about this, developing him for the NFL. Man, my thing is, let the NFL fool with him. I'm here to win games as a college coach. He is better out on the edge. And One thing I'll give Perkins, when he's done much better than he was as a freshman, they didn't use him much. Man, he can drop back in coverage. But we saw Braden Swinson do the exact same thing.
Right.
But his forte is getting off the edge, getting into the backfield, causing havoc.
That's right.
He's never going to be this guy that's going to be able to take on or get around big people up front. But if what Herbstreit says, we're developing him for the NFL, man, I'm worried about developing him what's going to win me games at LSU.
So
let the NFL worry about that.
So Harold Perkins Jr. had two solo tackles and one tackle for loss, right? That's it, totaling three tackles. Another linebacker had 11 total tackles, 8 solos, and then some assists. So the other linebacker was Weeks, who's a younger guy who understands that position of linebacker, I think, a little bit better than Harold does. And what I think Harold needs to do is not just what Harold needs to do, but the coaching staff has to just put him on the edge and let him rush. They need to let him go make a play, because dropping back in coverage, just because you're the best coverage linebacker we have, doesn't allow you to make plays. You're not making any plays doing that. Everybody, if they're not throwing the ball your way and you're dropping back, I guess you would be great, right? But he needs to be active around the football and make plays, because that's what he does. He can create tackles for loss. He can create fumbles. He can cause havoc. He can recover fumbles and things of that nature. And he's a guy that's a playmaker. We have to figure this out. And I don't know why it's so difficult. I've never seen such a
– okay.
Even if we put him in a situation like they do the Honey Badger back when he played at LSU, just put him as – like disguise him as a nickel type of player and let him rush.
And you think about it. In year one, as an 18-year-old freshman,
yeah,
man – he put the fear of you-know-what in you every time he come off that edge. Now, again, people say, yeah, they ran at him when they played A&M, but what about the other games?
Yeah.
Nobody else had figured that out. And, again, though, I think this is what you go back to. What's best for your team today? And my thing for LSU is to put him in a position where he can cause havoc. Now, he didn't get a lot of numbers today. But if you watch how they were trying to block him,
right,
he set up somebody else.
He set up Swinson.
They were so scared of him coming off the edge, it set up a Braden to make a play. And I really think that is something, if you put him closer to the line of scrimmage as a pass rusher, other teams are going to – he's going to open it up for other guys to make plays.
Yeah, now look, you and I are talking, and we're behind the table at the most one of the most greatest restaurants ever, Acme. We're not in the coaching booth and on the field every day trying to tell them what to do. I know for a fact that the coaches are trying to figure out exactly what to do. It's just the fact of the matter, it just doesn't look the same as it did 2 years ago, because you're not hearing his name called as much. But like today, you're right, where his impact in the game was quiet, but it was huge because other people made plays. And I think that's a part of how you utilize him as well, too, because just because he's not, it's like a decoy as a receiver, and you can you know take the top off the defense and then have somebody come underneath and catch the touchdown pass, and it's great.
You look at Braden Swinson, 3 sacks today, but one of the plays, you saw the quarterback, he didn't even see Braden fall back in coverage, and listen, if Braden had better hands, he might have caught it.
He would
have been an interception. Because he threw it right to him. He had no idea that Braden took one step forward and then he dropped back. And, man, he didn't expect Braden Swinson to be in that spot where he could have easily picked off the ball. Again, I know why he's playing on defense today, but God bless him. Braden Swinson had one heck of a game today.
He did.
Because not only did he make plays, but he was relentless.
He was.
He just kept coming at you and forced you to do some things. From a pass block standpoint, now, who are we going to kind of chip a little bit? Will it be Braden or will it be Harold?
Right.
So he put that in the back of your mind.
So I like the motor that Braden played with today. And I think Weeks played the same way as he always played.
Oh, always.
And we don't give him enough credit and notoriety that we should be. But that kid was the best defensive player stat-wise today on the field. And it's not – and I'm talking Will Weeks, too. It's not that – or with Weeks, I'm sorry. It's not that he jumped off the screen or anything, but he played a solid football game. He's going to be that way from now until the end of the season. So I just hope some of those other guys that kind of didn't that was making some business decisions start thinking like Witt and Braden and Harold and start making some plays and start creating somewhat of just make a tackle. How about that? Because I mean, sometimes we saw where it was just, what are you doing? Why are you out there, right? So, but at the end of the day, I think it's going to get better.
Let's go back to our Oakland Hard Jewelers talking text line. I think we got Jim on the line. Jim, you're in the huddle with Mike and Herb.
Yeah, can you hear me, guys?
Yes, sir. Sure can.
Well, I'm kind of on the same theme as some of the previous callers about. I want to know about some of the play calling. LSU had it down on the about the 2 yard line, goal to go, and they tried it up the middle. No go. I'm thinking, up the middle again. No go. Three times. I'm thinking, you've got to be kidding me. Fake up the middle, quick to the left, quick
That's
pass,
right.
quick,
Yeah.
Third and the fourth time, Nussmeier, I think, dashed out to the right and tried a desperation pass, and it, the receiver was out of bounds, and it wouldn't have been a touchdown anyway. Like, to me, this is not the players. This is coaching something.
That's right. Yep.
What do you guys think about this? What do you think about the play calling, some of that?
I don't like what they do in the red zone. I'll be honest with you. I think they moved the football 20-20.
But
it seems to be that they don't have a couple plays that they feel real comfortable with.
No, not down low.
Not in the red zone, near the goal line. They really don't. And I agree with you, Jim. Totally. I think that area of LSU's offense needs to get much better because you see their ability to move the football from somebody's 20 to their 20.
Yep.
It's what happens after that. That's the real issue.
Well, I think like what Jim's talking about is exactly it. And it reminds me of the old Les Miles stubbornness. I think it's just a matter of, they're thinking that, hey, we're bigger, we're better, we're more physical than you are. We're gonna just manhandle you. Well, you don't have to overthink this thing.
Yep.
And sometimes when you overthink it like that, and that's not really overthinking it. That's just really being, I guess just way too confident or thinking something's going to change and it won't change, right? But you keep doing the same thing. At the end of the day, I think it's just a matter of just make a simple, I know they have probably 10 plays in their arsenal, in that playbook, that they could have run other than those three plays that Jim was talking about. And also other than that fourth play where Nuss rolled out way before they ran any of those plays. It's just a matter of they know that Nuss is not going to run the ball. They also know that they're going to run the ball straight up the middle, and then the guys are going to run right at the back of the center, the guard, or the other guard, and they're not going to be able to look outside of that plane and try to bounce the ball. Like, how many times have you seen Emmitt Smith or somebody, and I'm bringing up old names, but those guys, you would see, they would see nothing's there, and they bounce it to the outside. They didn't run up the back of anybody. Like, I don't understand what's with this new age thing that we've been seeing with the new football thing, running into the back of people. But
I told you that this morning. I told you, I see it. You see more and more of it, almost like they run to the back, and they're running into the back of a lineman, and then all of a sudden they want to try to take off with it once, almost like contact. And then they want to it causes almost like a rugby jam,
that's right.
to speak. But that's not going to work.
No.
Every once in a while, and I give Caden credit today, because if you meet Caden Durham, he's not the biggest cat in the world.
No.
But, man, he was able to come out of there, and I agree with you, Herb. He had a couple shots that had he taken that a little bit more to the edge, he's got a crease that he can run through.
Right. And, look, I play with the best, so I know what that looks like, right? I've handed the ball off to Kevin Falk, Rondale Mealy, Cecil Collins, Kendall Cleveland. I've watched these guys from right behind them and see what they see. And I know and understand how that works. And it's I think it's a little bit of a stubbornness when you get down the goal line and you just run the ball three times right down the center of the field when you're not pushing anybody around, especially when you know you have not pushed anybody around yet this season. I think it's a little bit of stubbornness.
That's where I really agree with you, that if you'd have had success doing that, I understand doing
it. Yeah, I get it.
But if you're not having success, man, why you keep beating your head against the concrete wall? You don't think it's going to hurt?
Yeah, and you know, it's definitely going to hurt. Now, at the end of the day, too, I'm thinking, what different play can we do now that will be successful that no one knows is coming? What can we do? Can we?
And that's when you brought up about the Nussmeier faking it and pulling it and run with it. We're not talking about him running 15 times a game.
No.
We're talking about a couple times a game, especially in that red zone area.
In that
area.
Red zone or that short yardage situation. And just get down after that. That's it.
Thank you, Jim. We appreciate the call. We'll be back with more of our Purple and Gold Point After Show right here at Acme Oyster House, 3535 Perkins Road in Baton Rouge. Also want to thank our presenting sponsor, Map Construction. We'll be back to finish it off here on our Purple and Gold Point After Show right after this break.